All right.
You mind if I play through? I'm expecting a call from the clinic. Dr. Stone speaking.
I have it, Alex. Yes, this is Mrs. Stone. Uncle Fred, how wonderful to hear from you. I'm afraid we've got a bad connection. How are things in South Africa? What? You're not? Gee, Uncle Fred, I can't seem to hear you very well. It sounds like you're in an airplane.
Well, Mike's always calling you.
Oh, Jeff, would you be quiet? Daddy, look, this whole problem could be solved if I had my own phone in my room.
Amen to that, sister.
An even better solution just occurred to me. If you two don't start practicing moderation, I'm going to install a payphone.
Honey, you'll never guess who just called.
Who?
Uncle Fred.
All the way from South Africa? How's the weather down there?
Well, he didn't say. He's back in this country again.
Where? New York? Chicago?
Donna, he's not coming here.
Oh, Alex, he's not that bad, and you haven't seen him for years. He's bound to have mellowed.
Honey, a keg of dynamite doesn't mellow. I'll get on the phone and tell him.
I can't. He called from an airplane.
From an airplane?
Yes, he said he'd be here any minute.
Is somebody attacking us?
Yes! Uncle Fred!
So I said to the pilot, Sonny, I charted this old lemon crate, and I'm taking the controls. Now, I didn't know right where you lived, but a town by the name of Hilldale. Whoever thought of that name? Sounds like a cemetery. So I decided to waken you up. So I zoomed on in.
You certainly woke us up all right.
I may never sleep again.
Gosh, Uncle Fred, are you a pilot, too?
Oh, I've logged a few hours. I cut my teeth in the Lafayette Escadrille. Then I spent some time flying freight over the Andes. Finally got bored with it. I lit out for Africa. Led some hunting parties. Yeah, that's when I got hooked by that Cape Buffalo in my hip. Blast his hide. And then I stumbled over the diamond mine.
Uncle Fred, this is neat. Would you show me how to use it?
Nothing to it, lad. Now, you grab the handle, so. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say your dad's a warthog.
Okay.
He breaks cover. Calculating speed, you get set, lean back, and...
Uncle Fred!
Oh, don't worry, honey. I wouldn't kill any husband of yours.
Well, let's not take any chances. Put this in a corner till a warthog shows up. Uncle Fred, did this really belong to an African queen?
Sure thing, honey. Of course, the king had about 13 other wives besides her, but they had a nice working arrangement.
Uncle Fred, wouldn't you like some coffee?
Oh, I'd love it, honey.
Uncle Fred, how much longer do you think your business will keep you here?
Well, that depends on how long a certain corporation I got my hooks in manages to hold out. Oh, a few days, a week, a month.
Well, I'm sorry we don't have a guest room, but then I imagine you'd be more comfortable at a hotel.
A hotel? Are you kidding? He can have my room.
Well, don't listen to him, Uncle Fred. Take my room. It's clean.
It smells like perfume.
Don't squabble, kids. Don't squabble. It's a real nice feeling to be wanted.
Here's your coffee.
Oh, thanks. But since I'm joining the family, I'd like to show you how to brew a real cup of coffee. I wormed the secret from the Tuquara Indians. Have you got any cassava root?
I knew I left something off my shopping list.
Oh, never mind. I'll pick up a supply myself. Well, Alex, So you're a pediatrician?
Mm.
What's that, foot doctor?
Baby doctor.
Well, you don't get much of a fee out of kids, do you?
Oh, there are ways of collecting. I use a whip.
You're all right, son. You know, I had my doubts about you when I first met you. I had you marked down as a stuffed shirt. I should have known my favorite niece wouldn't pick a deadhead.
Thank you, Uncle Fred. You'll excuse me, I have to make a phone call.
Oh, not on that phone, though. No. Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead, but don't tie up the line too long. I'm expecting an important call.
Well, I'll try not to interfere with your business, Uncle Fred.
Uncle Fred, were you ever attacked by lions?
Bless you, my boy. I've been attacked by every savage beast that's known to man.
Ever been attacked by a boa constrictor?
Yep.
A tiger?
Yep.
Yes, sir. The real ornery critter is the Cape Buffalo.
I wonder if he's ever been attacked by a savage pediatrician.
Alex, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Rather phone in here. The oxygen's all used up in there.
Hello? No, Dr. Stone isn't. Oh, hello, Mrs. Adams. Yes, I know, the phone's been busy. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yes, I'll tell him. Bye.
Mom, guess what? Uncle Fred's gonna coach our team.
Wonderful.
I remember the time that I persuaded a spindly shank youngster to change his batting stance. Next year, he went out and hit 60 homers.
Babe Ruth!
Now, as soon as you get the team organized, I'll be there.
Mom, do me a favor. Get Uncle Fred to stay forever.
Got the hand of you, Donna. You've done a great job raising those kids of yours. First rate.
Oh, thank you, Uncle Fred. Alex helped out in odd moments, too. Uncle Fred, Alex is terribly dependent on the telephone.
Same here. Now, you take that Chicago deal. Operator, this is Fred Sutton again. What about my call to Chicago? Well, hustle it up, honey bunch.
Hello, Fred.
Alex?
Hello, dear. Mrs. Adams just called. She's bringing Timmy over. You better be prepared. She sounded pretty hysterical.
Isn't she always?
What's the trouble with the little fella?
Nothing.
Huh?
Timmy's just fine. His mother dreams up a new illness for him every week.
I know how to deal with that kind. I once saw a Congo tribesman cure his wife's hysteria and nothing flat.
Really?
Swung at her with a crocodile. It was only a baby croc, but she simmered down fast.
Well, I'm a little short of crocodiles, so I'll stick to less persuasive.
That's where you're wrong, laddie buck. The trouble with most human beings is they pussyfoot through life, so scared of what people will think, they never get anything done. My motto is, listen patiently, smile sweetly, and smack them between the eyes with a crocodile. Operator, what's the delay, sweetie pie? Well, you better hurry it up, or we'll take our business to another phone company. You heard what I said, sweetie pie.
Now, Mike, I'm not going to break that date with Roy Hawkins, and that's that.
Okay, that suits me fine. You go your way, I'll go mine.
Well, I can't cancel a date at the last minute. Think how we feel.
What about the way I feel? We've been going together 2 whole weeks.
Well, I made the date with Roy 3 weeks ago. I can't just call him up.
Okay, I'll call him up.
Oh, Mike, listen, I told you I like you better than any boy at school, but...
Oh, that's a beautiful line. Why don't you put it to music and sing it?
Hold everything, young fella. No one talks to my niece that way.
Fred, we were just having a discussion.
Well, I don't like his language. And I don't like you being hauled around in this thing. That's about the flimsiest excuse for a front end that I've ever seen.
Look, Dad, if you knew anything at all about hot rods, you'd know that...
Mike, don't you talk to my uncle like that.
Now, you better clear out of here, son, and don't come back until you've done a repair job on your manners and your jalopy. Don't worry, honey. He'll be back with his tail between his legs. Mary!
Mary! Hi, Uncle Fred.
Hiya, Jeff, old boy. What, back so soon?
Oh, the playground's closed. There's a big sign on the gate that says, no playing on Saturday because there's no one around to supervise.
What do they expect you to do, play in the streets?
We can't do that. The police won't let us.
What kind of a town is this? Jeff, did you ever hear the expression, go argue with City Hall?
Yeah, I've heard it.
I'm going to give you a practical demonstration how to go about it. Come with me. Mayor Webster, my name is Frederick Jonathan Sutton. I'm the uncle of Mrs. Alex Stone. Yes, the doctor's wife. Well, to begin with, let me say, I am shocked, sir. Profoundly shocked.
Would you mind telling me exactly?
I'm speaking, sir, of the public playground. Have you no concern for the children of this town?
The children? I'll have you know, sir, the welfare of the children is my greatest concern.
Then why are the playground gates locked against them? Are you afraid they'll steal the equipment?
But we have no supervisor.
Then scrape up the money to hire a supervisor.
We have no budget.
The budget? Now, really, Mayor, I've seen that dead horse flogged by every two-bit tin-horn politician from here to Timbuktu.
You listen here.
Now, if I may get a word in edgewise, may I ask, are you a statesman or a budget-balancing bookkeeper?
Holy cow, what'd he say?
He was too overcome with remorse to say anything. You tell your friends to stand by. Those gates will be open before you know it.
Well, thanks a million, Uncle Fred.
Hi there, young fella. Who are you? Huh? I didn't quite catch the name.
Timmy Adams.
Oh, ho! So you do have a name. Timmy Adams. How do you feel? Got any aches or pains?
Timmy! Oh, dear, you know, you know what I told you about bothering strangers.
Oh, hardly a stranger, ma'am. I'm Mrs. Stone's uncle.
Oh.
Fred Sutton's the name. That's a fine, healthy-looking boy you got there.
Well, thank you. But he's really not well at all. He's got to sit quietly and conserve his energy.
Ma'am, when he gets as old as I am, he can sit around and conserve his energy. Right now, he ought to be romping up a storm with the rest of the kids.
Oh, no. He can't run around. He's a frail child. He's always been a frail child. Why, if it hadn't been for Dr. Stone's treatments...
Ma'am, it's up to me to tell you something. Dr. Stone's treatments were meant for you, not for him. There's nothing wrong with that boy.
Uncle Fred, if you think you can...
Doctor, is that what you think?
Why, of course it is. Who do you think told me?
Look,
Mrs. Adams, please.
I trusted you. You deliberately misled me. You're just like all the rest of the doctors.
You keep on treating him like an invalid, and you'll wind up an invalid.
Alex, what is it?
It's the power of suggestion.
He's not
I've
talking to
Mrs. Adams.
Oh, no.
I just wish I had a crocodile handy.
If I'd been upstairs consoling Mary, he made some pretty strong remarks to her boyfriend, Mike.
That's nothing. You should have heard him tell the mayor off.
The mayor?
And kind of the playground being closed. You should have heard the way he called him a two-bit tin-horn politician. I tell you, that Uncle Fred's the greatest.
Oh, Alex, he probably just didn't realize what he was doing.
Oh, of course not. Cake buffaloes never realize how ornery they are. Now, Donna, there are limits to hospitality. Now, you tell Uncle Fred we want a firm commitment how much longer he's going to be here.
Well, Alex, that's just like handing him his hat. He'll pack and leave.
Oh, that's a prospect I can face without flinching. Oh, all right, honey, you're too emotionally involved. Forget it.
Oh, Alex, do you really mean that?
Yes, I'll tell him.
Alex, wait. He's my cake buffalo. I'll tell him.
A-roving with you, fair maid. A-roving, a-roving. Who goes there, friend or foe?
It's a friend.
Enter, friend. I thought you might be one of the kids.
Uncle Fred, there's something I want to discuss with
I
you.
I wanted these to be a surprise.
Oh, Uncle Fred, why did you do that?
Because I wanted to, Donna. What's money for if you can't spend it on the folks you love? How about this for Mary? A bottle of the best French perfume. And this for Jeff. One of those foolproof cameras.
Uncle Fred, I wish you hadn't.
And how about a new X-ray machine for Alex? And a nice fur coat for you?
Oh,
Uncle Fred, now listen to me. I want you to promise that you won't get anything for either of us. I mean it. Now, will you promise?
You're a hard woman, Donna. Oh, but anyway, I've been making myself useful around here. Did Alex tell you how I straightened out that Mrs. Adams?
Yes. I also know how you straightened out Mary and Mike and Mayor Webster.
You got something on your mind, Donna?
Uncle Fred, did you know that Timmy is an adopted boy? Mrs. Adams could never have children, and she waited so long. Well, now her one big fear is that something will happen to him.
Oh.
So, you see, sometimes a soft approach is the best way. Now take Mary and Mike and that silly quarrel.
That young pup ordering her around.
Well, Uncle Fred, puppies do silly things sometimes, and... Well, Alex and I always let the children work out their own problems.
Well, what about that mayor of yours? Do you expect Jeff to work out the playground problem with him?
No, but calling the mayor a tin-horn politician isn't going to help things any.
Did I call him that?
Yes.
I guess I did.
Uncle Fred, I hate to ask you this.
You don't have to, honey. I know what you're going to say.
If there were any other way,
I'm just an old fool of the Peck's bad boy. But you watch me spring into action now.
What?
I'm going to make that precious mare of yours see the sweet light of reason if I have to tromp all over him. And then I'm going to look up Mrs. Adams and young Mike.
No, Uncle Fred, you can't do that.
I don't blame you for thinking so, but you just watch and see. I've got to stick around for an important call at 2:00. But right after that, where are you going?
Excuse me, I just thought of some things I have to do.
Before 2:00.
A tinhorn politician? You?
His very words.
But you were absolutely right. Allowing the children to use a playground without supervision would have been very unwise.
Ah, today is always, Mrs. Stone. I stand four square for playground.
I know. And it's up to us to back you up. Now, that's the first order of business at the next PTA meeting. Resolved that it's up to us mothers to take turns supervising the playground on Saturdays. Now, I'm sure you had some such plan in mind.
Yeah. Well, to be perfectly honest...
I'm so glad we were able to save you the trouble. Well, I've got to be running along. The boys are going to be delighted to have their playground back again.
Well, needless to say, I'll have a notice of that effect put up at once.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Webster. Oh, and may I tell my uncle that you forgive his outrageous remarks?
Oh, that's all forgotten. Funny, in a way, I'm indebted to him.
To Uncle Fred?
Oh, he said a lot of things that were uncalled for. But he also said something. Well, he asked me if I were a statesman or a budget-balancing bookkeeper. You know, that's not a bad question for a mayor to keep asking himself, as long as he stays in office.
Goodbye. Mmm. It's a good drink, Mike.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Stone. Only, I got a feeling you didn't come here just to have a...
No, I didn't. I came to apologize for Mr. Sutton. Uncle Fred?
You know, Mrs. Stone, I like Mary better than any girl in the whole school, and she feels the same way about me. At least she says she does.
Well, then how could she go out with another boy? Mike, that's dreadful. Now, how disloyal can she be?
Well, now, wait. As a matter of fact, he's sort of a friend of mine. And all said and done, he's a pretty good guy.
Mike, it's very loyal of you to stick up for him.
You know, Mrs. Stone, you're pretty sharp. But what you really mean is Mary's the one who's loyal.
You're pretty sharp yourself.
You know, I think you're right. If Mary was the type to break a date with Roy, she might even break a date with me, huh?
That's a possibility.
What actually made me mad was, well, the remarks Mr. Sutton made about my car.
Oh, I admit, he had no reason to insult your car.
No, but, well, the funny thing is, he's right.
What?
Well, I took the car over to the mechanic, and, well, he said the front end needed, well, beefing up. And that's just what Mr. Sutton said. In fact, it's over there being fixed right now. When all's said and done, Mr. Sutton's a remarkable man.
You know, Mike, when all is said and done, I'm beginning to agree with you. Mike, just one question. Who could eat a thing like that?
Are you kidding? I eat two or three a day.
Hello, this is Mrs. Stone calling again. Has Mrs. Adams come back yet? You don't know where I can reach her? I see. Well, ask her to call me as soon as she comes in. It's very important. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
A roving, since Robin's been my roo-eyed. Oh, no more a roving.
Hello, dear.
Now, let's dispense with formalities. When's he leaving?
Uncle Fred?
Who else? Did you tell him?
Well, I had a nice long talk with him.
I see. You didn't tell him.
Oh, Alex, he's an old man. Whatever he did, it was only to help us.
Excuse me. You know, Mike's outside and he called up and apologized.
Apologized? For what?
For being rude to Uncle Fred. He thinks he's wonderful.
Uncle Fred? Why?
Daddy, there's no use trying to explain to you. You just don't know anything about hot rods.
Guess what? The playground's open!
Already? Well, I don't understand. Who's supervising it?
Well, who do you think? Mayor Webster.
Mayor Webster?
Well, he had to after Uncle Fred blasted him. What else could he do? We'll see you later.
You know, there's a certain dreamlike, unreal quality about all this. I confidently expect Mrs. Adams to come to the door, smiling, happy, no longer
oh,
fearful.
Oh, no, Alex, I wouldn't count on that.
Well, after what's happened... Won't you come and sit down?
No, I think not. Doctor, I hope you're satisfied. Over at the playground, there are thousands of little boys trampling each other and perspiring and screaming. And who do you think is right in the middle of them at this very moment?
Timmy?
I have never seen him so flushed and dirty and overheated.
Oh, please, Mrs. Adams, you mustn't worry about him.
Worry? I've done nothing but worry since that uncle told me those horrible things.
Oh, well, Mr. Sutton is a very impulsive man.
I am not naive, Doctor. You didn't fool me for a moment. I knew you'd put him up to it. Yes, I do worry. And I'm going to try not to do it anymore. But if anything happens to Timmy, I shall hold you personally responsible. Do you understand?
Yes, Mrs. Adams, I understand.
And, Doctor, in the future, I hope you will be as honest and forthright as Mr. Sutton.
Do you know, if Uncle Fred were alive in the old days of Salem, he'd have been burned as a witch.
Not our Uncle Fred. He'd have got out of it somehow.
In little town there lived a maid, what will what I do say? In little town there lived a maid. A-roving, since Rovin's been my roo-eye. Well, I'm off. I've got a few ruffled feathers to soothe around town.
Oh, Uncle Fred, that won't be necessary.
No, at last report, everybody thinks you're wonderful. The mayor, Mike, Mrs. Adams, everybody.
Well, now, isn't that a crime? Just as the folks around here come to their senses, I've got to shove off.
You're leaving?
Well, I've got to. My phone call finally came through. Yep, the boys in the Windy City finally ran out of gas. I've got to catch a plane for Chicago.
Right away?
Oh, but Uncle Fred, won't you at least stay and have dinner with us? The kids would never forgive you.
A farewell dinner? Sold. Only this has got to be a real Congo-style dinner. That means you stay out of the kitchen, Donna. I'm in charge. Now, let me see now. There'll be ginger, bamboo shoots, cinnamon bark. Where can I get some ant eggs? I don't mean the ordinary kind. I mean the big red kind. Never mind. I'll manage.
A-roving, since Rovin's been my delight. I'm going to more a-roving with you, fair
ant eggs? Well, I'll say one thing for a Congo-style dinner. You sure know you've had something to eat.
I feel like I swallowed a caged buffalo.
Oh, I wish he could have stayed a little longer. He's only been gone a half an hour, and I miss him already.
I know. Everybody should have an Uncle Fred. We've been so lazy and set in our ways that sometimes it takes a caged buffalo to wake us up.
You think we'll ever hear from him again?
Oh, don't you worry. When you least expect it. Excuse me, honey. Hello?
Donna?
Uncle Fred!
We're in the air. Just called to thank you and the family for a bang-up time.
Well, it was wonderful having you.
Say, I see your house. I'll come on down and wave goodbye.
No, don't do that, Uncle Fred. Just say it.
You know me, honey. One deed is worth a thousand words.
I'll go the more I'm roaring with you, can't you?